And again, it is the Taylor Report, CIUT. We are on Facebook and SoundCloud, easily found. Just say the Taylor Report and you'll be there. We were speaking of Myanmar, and I have a very relevant quote. I want to just wind up our discussion of Myanmar to show where we need to start getting this right. The Secretary of State, the new one, Mr. Blinken, Joe Biden's Blinken Secretary of State, spoke with the People's Republic of China Director of the Office of Central Commission for Foreign Affairs and extended his best wishes for the Lunar New Year. Secretary Blinken stressed the United States will continue to stand up for human rights and democratic values, including in Xinjiang, Tibet, and Hong Kong, and pressed China to join the international community in condemning the military coup in Burma, which is, if you use that word, speaking to the Chinese representative, he was basically kicking dust on his shoes, as it were. That is not how to have a conversation where you want a happy outcome. The country of Myanmar, that's its term, that's its name. It's true that it was formerly known as Burma, and it's sort of an understanding in ordinary parlance. Pedestrians, people talking to one another could say the Burma without it being a particular insult. But if you're, when you're talking at the level of heads of states and governments and foreign secretaries, and certainly in the United Nations, of which Myanmar is a member, you call them by their right name. And when you don't, they understand that you're playing with them. And this is something which the United States likes to do because they are exceptional and they will do and say what they like. I notice, referring back again to Trump, everybody said, oh, Trump thinks he can play by his own rules. Well, he probably got that out of the DNA of the leaders of the United States for the last 150 years or so. They make their own rules. They say what they want, and others will just have to live with it. And it's a joke. It's called, you know, kicking sand in their face, like Charles Atlas had happened to him. Canada goes along with this, and I was mentioning that, of course, the Canadian Parliament foolishly put its nose in, and of course they're going to do it again because they love to do that. They're actually chafing at the bit to bait China, which brings us to the issue of the subject of the coming attempt to boycott the Chinese Winter Olympics. And I'm really not terribly hopeful about this because this kind of behavior by the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and the sharpening nastiness initiated on the British side, the British government made a decision to cancel the broadcast agreement with a really quite competent, high-quality news network, the Chinese news network, CGTN. I urge you to look them up while you still can. But the British have decided that they're not going to any longer allow the broadcasting, English language broadcasting. Of course, Voice of America and BBC World Service, etc., both which serve governments, you know. They go right on, and nobody bats an eye, and nobody says anything. And if somebody were to jam them or whatever, they immediately explain that they're the voice of freedom. but we have there's going to be actually, I think, a struggle to preserve the Olympic movement because it's really the U.S. practice to politicize the games as much as they can. And there was a strong effort to cancel the summer, you know, to boycott the Summer Olympics sometime back in China, because they understood that, yes, there is a political fallout and consequence of the staging of the games. People around the world think about a country, look at the country, watch what's going on, and it's liable to end up positive for the country that's hosting if they do a good job. And obviously the U.S. was a little concerned, but at that time they were playing nice, but they're starting to play less nice, and we're hearing the little drumbeat. And when you see this thing happen with the Chinese English language network in Britain, you say, you know, language is used and insults are passed back and forth, and before you know it, you know, people say, oh, well, we're going to have to boycott. And lo and behold, right here in Canada, the Green Party decides to put its foot in its mouth, or in our mouth, and the leader has called for a transferring the games. And I can't believe that this is going on. George Galloway has remarked that the profile of the Green parties around the world is that they tend to be imperialists. In the Western countries, they seem to develop imperialist politics. And think about it, if you want to preserve the planet, if climate change is a passionate subject and we have to have everybody's got to focus on it and everybody must do something, and that's why we get into politics and that's why we take these stands and we're going to take it. Surely one of the things that that would imply is that you understand that peace is required between countries, cooperation is required amongst countries, good faith treatment of one another is, because one country cannot do this alone. All the maximum number of countries that can be brought together in a common cause to save the planet should bring out the peacemaker in people. Same with the COVID-19. We're faced with a worldwide pandemic. Therefore, Cuba, China, Iran, Syria, everybody should be, and the United States and France, South Africa, should be pulling together and cooperating with each other. And by the way, yes, if you have differences, saying, I note the difference, but I'm going to go the extra mile because I want to save the planet, or I want to defeat the virus. But that isn't what we're hearing. I hope the leader of the Green Party understands. Probably, certainly she's going to pretend she doesn't, that the United States has been mounting an increasingly noisy and provocative policy toward China. Our new president Biden has just visited the Pentagon, and he said he told the people in the Pentagon that he wants them to develop a plan to deal with China, as though they don't already have a plan, if he isn't knee-deep in plans, as though they hadn't been sailing warships in the Taiwan Gulf talking about they're going to assert their right to sail in anybody's waters and all that stuff, and meanwhile saying they're going to make a fuss, some type of political new policy to weaponize the Taiwan issue, to weaponize the Hong Kong issue. But this is going on, and the leader of the Green Party doesn't know it. But her contribution was to say that we can't, of course, allow China to have the Winter Olympics, and she's kind of a naive, funny, sick idea that we don't want to boycott China. What we want to do is move the Olympics to Canada and the United States. I would say, by the way, if you're a member of the Green Party, quit today. Just don't even bother to tell her goodbye. Because, again, you're not going to have a worldwide program to save the planet if you have leaders who talk such crazy talk, which, you know, the consequence of a boycott or the consequence of sabotaging a great country's organization of an international event, the Olympics, and you can just do that and what? Like tossing away a cigarette or something? They just flip it or spit? You can't do that. There are really ugly, nasty consequences. And why would they cooperate with you? You're not even interested in saving the planet. What you're interested in is some type of grandstanding. And they're going to put you at the head of the parade. Hey, the Green Party says we got to do this. I just, again, tell people, remind us, everybody, that the whole idea of the Olympics, let's go with the legend, and it's not a bad legend. You have warring countries. These are the Greek states. Play along with me. This is the basic story. And they say, you know, we all love athletics. So take time out from cutting each other's throats to not getting along to see who, let's have an Olympics and we will all participate together. And the winner is the winner is the winner. That's all. By the way, my memory is that the original concept was that the athletes weren't representing countries. They were representing themselves. That is, who's the strongest? Who's the fastest? That was the idea. And certainly for people who love athletics, that's the way they want it. They really don't want to see all the flags. They don't want to hear the band. They don't want to have three or four warplanes fly over slow while, you know, well, I'll drop that. So that is not the path anybody should be going down. We should want that Olympics the way it was conceived. And yes, you'll have to rub elbows with people you don't like, and vice versa. They have to rub elbows with you. So who are you? So this is a sabotage, and it's the Green Party leader taking a leading part, and all the other mouths are going to be going soon. Given the way Biden is talking, and by the way, people talk about Trump's temper and intemperate speech. Biden has a nasty temper, and he certainly has a thing about being a boss. And now that he says America's back, he means under him. And he has a policy reflected in this ignorant remark by so-called Secretary of State Blinken, who actually uses the term Burma when the country is known as Myanmar. When you see these kind of operators functioning, you have to realize that, I'd say the odds are they're going to go for boycott. I hate to say it, but remember Jimmy Carter, the sweetest little Democrat they ever found. Couldn't smell him, you know, even, no matter how close, because he was a little dry-mouthed Baptist, and, you know, pure as driven snow. And he organized a boycott of Olympics scheduled for Russia. That was, let's remember why. Because the Russians had troops in Afghanistan. How about that one? That was the reason we couldn't have America. Pure American boys and girls couldn't be mixing with those evil Russians who had troops in Afghanistan. And now we have troops in Afghanistan. The United States Congress, when I say we, they, United States, has these troops. And the United States Congress made sure they passed a resolution that in his last days that Trump would not be permitted to withdraw those troops. Not that he was going to, but they thought there was a danger that he might. So they wanted to be sure that that didn't happen. So we're dealing with not one madman. You're dealing with a country that's been smelling this strange perfume of being exceptional and being the only important country. Everybody else is just sort of backdrop. That's where the illness lies. And so, Betty, back to the point. The Green Party leader actually said this, and it's all people are debating. I noticed some Canadian Olympic athletes, bless their hearts, have said, No. We got, you know, you ruin athletes. The young people train and train and train, and this is their moment, and some politician decides that, oh no, we got to show China. when actually what we need to do is develop a policy, independent Canadian policy, that would say, you guys in Washington do what you want, but we're going to have a multilateral policy, going to get along with the world, and we have something to say, we'll say it at the United States, and we won't check with you first. But believe me, the walls would fall down if everybody did that. And but seriously, the people should just forget that Green Party. If this is their idea of a leader, if this is where we're going to find ourselves, because, you know, war and peace, in old-fashioned political terms, is called a splitting issue. And people are for war, and others are not, and they belong to the same outfit. That's serious. And we're in a period where U.S. is growing more and more aggressive, and the Green Party leader doesn't know that. Apparently could never be told. This is a time to stand up to these ideas and to work for cooperation. And the same, of course, is going to apply to the New Democratic Party, Liberal Party, Conservative, forget it. They've all bitten the apple. They're all part of the exercise of demonization of a very important country who committed the sin of identifying the COVID-19 virus, isolating it, and zealously working to protect their population, and succeeded. Did it within 3 months. 3 months they had it under control. And their economy is the only economy to be growing during the year 2020. And that's the year that they came under the first attack from the COVID. That's unforgivable. We now have the United States saying about the Chinese that, in the case of Trump, he said that they're responsible. The Democrats took a slightly more sophisticated position because, after all, they realized that they had been warned and told this virus existed. They were told by the Chinese. They were told by the World Health Organization. And now we have amazing numbers of COVID cases and deaths from it. And U.S. is the number one country, frankly. And that's probably one of the main reasons that Trump was defeated in a relatively close election. So now Biden, to show with how he can help make things worse, says that following the World Health Organization's investigating body that visited the People's Republic and said that, the preliminary reports that, certain things could be ruled out. Since you're dealing with scientists, nobody ever says 100% on anything. If you're a scientist, you realize, you say, it's most likely this, most likely that. We're going to keep looking. This is in terms of the origins of the COVID-19. Did it start at the market, etc. Now, they ruled out the possibility of it being as a artificial thing, out of a lab. And the U.S. doesn't like that. Even though the main guy carrying the ball for the U.S. and making wild claims about it was Mr. Pompeo, who's considered now pretty much a joke. The Democrats claim to hate him. Pompeo is the one who started all this stuff, these wild accusations. So even though this is World Health Organization preliminary report, the Biden administration says that they won't accept it because they want their own scientists, American scientists, to go and do their investigation. Well, I'm sorry, that's called imperialism. It's called colonialism. It's called racial arrogance. It's called arrogance. impolitic. It's not the thing, it's not how to conduct affairs unless you're really looking to have trouble with somebody. And the Globe and Mail, CBC and others, they're all having trouble how to report this. And so they say, well, China is pointing at the U.S. and saying, maybe it came from the U.S. Actually, that's not true. What they said, what they've been saying lately, check them out. You can go to the Chinese Foreign Ministry, click on that, and they give a daily press announcements. They're far superior to the American, by the way, which is a peculiar performance theater. What do they call that? They make it up as they go along anyway. It's mainly theater. Nothing's ever learned there. And a lot of noise. But at any rate, the professionals at the Chinese Foreign Ministry have said, when they're asked, oh, well, maybe was it the market? Was it a bat? Was it this and that? Could it have been the lab? They answer, no. We've had these recent investigations. These are the findings. World Health Organization, we've complied. We have requested, and they came to China. And then here's the part that should interest you. They say, has the United States invited the World Health Organization to come and see what has transpired in the U.S. and to investigate their handling of it? The World Health Organization is there to serve. It's a international body. They all cooperate. The idea is we cooperate together to protect the health of the world's people. So has the United States invited the World Health Organization? No. Are they going to? No. Why? Because they're exceptional. There's no doctor from some other country that's going to come and poke around in the United States and tell them they might do something. You're talking to somebody who's been placed there by God. And to say you're exceptional makes you a demigod. You're part God. And you're not going to listen to a Japanese, Korean, African doctor, particularly African. Americans have no respect at all for Africa. So, this is the most poignant question anybody could ask. Is the United States going to invite the WHO? And I don't know, by the way, maybe we should raise it. I'm not aware of Canada saying they'd like to have the WHO come. They should. But we have members of parliament who are proud of throwing mud on the WHO every chance they get. They say, oh, you see, they're under the Chinese thumb, even though most of the money in the WHO was American. And disproportionately, the professional staff come from Western countries. And yet, it seems to produce results that bother those same Western countries. So do they wise up? No, they become dumber, and they act and behave in a more ignorant way, which should really concern us. There's a last thing I want to say apropos of all this stuff is that I want to mention, and I get this from the People's World. PeoplesWorld.org is reporting a very important fact. The Cuba approach to developing vaccines differs from other nations of the world. Sosa's Cuba's production of 4 vaccine is grounded in science, and Cuba is the only vaccine manufacturer in Latin America. There are none in Africa. The only state-owned entities producing the leading vaccine are those of Cuba and Russia. Cuba's Finlay Vaccine Institute has produced 2 COVID-19 vaccines. Trials for one of them, called Sovereign One, are aimed at determining the optimal level of the strength. Now, I'm going to jump ahead in the story to say among the things that Cuba is going to do that I find really intriguing and I look forward to it. Well, they're going to provide vaccines for Vietnam, Iran, Pakistan, India, Venezuela, Bolivia, and Nicaragua. They're also planning with this vaccine to make it available to visitors to Cuba. So you land in Cuba, this is the plan, and you will have the vaccine made available to you. You can get. So that's a win-win for Cuban tourism. Good for them. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. See you next week.